I am your host, Jacob, and our co-host
is Tavian.
Today, we have a guest from the organization Green Thumbs, and if you want to know about Green Thumbs, it offers food growing and environmental education programs in 4 inner city schools and 2 park sites. And the programs take place in the East Downtown Toronto neighborhoods such as St. Jamestown, Cabbage Town, and Regent Park. And we are here with Kasia, and she is part of the Regent Park Green Thumbs organization. Hello, Kasia.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Very good.
Okay.
So for anyone listening and want more information about Green Thumbs, would you be able to share that with us? What is Green Thumbs?
Absolutely. We run out of 3 different schools in Regent Park, and our mission is to empower urban children, youth, and their families to learn and grow and how to prepare fresh food cultivated in an environmentally sustainable manner in like a hands-on program. So we're partially a food justice program as well as an education programming and getting kids to get their hands dirty and learn about different things in the environment, but also know how to do it sustainably.
And you have 3 programs. One is called Kids Growing, Urban Roots Youth, and Grown-Ups Gardening. Would you like to probably explain just a brief summary of what those programs do?
Yeah, so we have a few different programs that run throughout the year. One of them is within the schools that we do a Garden Buddies program with grade 6s and kindergartens, where they learn together in a garden in the school. They pair up and they kind of help with each other's learnings. And then after school program we run with the urban youth. After school program where they learn about cooking. They get to make their own things out of plant-based stuff. It takes place in the greenhouses. So the Regent Park greenhouse is just across the street from the Daniel Spectrum Center. So that's where we do it in the wintertime. And then in the summer, we're right into the gardens themselves on Winchester Street and on Spruce Court. It's a great way for like the secondary school kids to get to know each other and who are interested in food and the environment. And they learn a little bit about urban agriculture. And then sometimes depending on the grants that we get approved for, the amount of hours that they put in, they can put towards getting an honorarium at the end of the year. So it's a way to get a little bit of funds as well, as doing some connecting outside of school. And then we also offer some summer programs where the kids can, if they've been a part of the youth groups, where they're able to apply for a job for the summer to help take part in keeping the gardens in the schools growing over the summer as well.
Okay. Is there an age gap for this program?
As long as you are in secondary, so I believe that would be grade 5 until high school, just as long as you're a student and you're independent and you have a need for some after-school activity, then that is, if your parents say that you can be out after school and be on your own, then absolutely we have a place for you to learn about some environmental care in the gardens after school.
Okay. Can you share the names of the 3 schools that you guys are in partnership with?
We started the garden at the Winchester School. We also take care of the garden in the front of the school at Spruce Court. And then also the Rose Avenue School up in St. Jamestown as well.
Okay. Is there any plans to bring it to more schools?
We would love to bring it to more schools. The partner schools that we have right now came about because there was a need they had expressed interest in starting a garden. And so when they went to go start the garden, they needed a partner to help them facilitate that. And so we were on board there. So what needs to happen when schools apply to they need the funding from their school board, so that's part of it, and they need to have an active parent association to kind of help with the getting things started, so that it's they work in coordination with each other, so they can have so we're able to pool our resources all together, because not one person and not one group can put together a whole garden on their own. So we do require a little bit of financial assistance from the school board and from the school itself. And then from there, we can get the parents on board, we can get some fundraising in, and then we do a full day, or a full few days, actually, of turning over all of the land and turning it into, put a plan together, and then putting the garden in place in the school.
For people who live in housing or condo, how can they start a garden?
I need you to speak up a little bit. I can't hear when you ask me a question.
Right. So the question is, just how can a family basically grow their own community garden, or just like anywhere in their apartment?
How does a family grow their own community garden?
Yes, like how can they start up a little garden, probably in the backyard, on the roof, a window garden, like that?
Depends on where you live. There's lots of different options that you can do. If you're talking about a food garden, the easiest way, if you have no access to the outdoors but you just need sunlight, the best way to do that is to get a little herb garden that you can put in a window where you get some sunlight, and then that way you can grow your herbs there. It's tough to grow food indoors, so we recommend if you can get an outdoor planter, you can do some of, you can, there's some fantastic gardening hacks that you can do, that you can grow in like a basically a storage container, those plastic containers. You can get it, if you get enough soil in there deep enough, you can start to grow any different, deep enough to root. So you can grow potatoes, and you can grow tomatoes and things like that, and beans and peas on right on your balcony. And then there's a new kind of wave of things where you can regrow vegetables. So it kind of went viral in a video where you have, you finish your, you cut the, let's say, basil or lettuce or carrots or green onions and celery and cilantro and things like that. You've got the ends of those left over. You can actually replant them in a little planter, and then you can start growing them again. Mm-hmm. So you can get a few uses out of a head of lettuce just by taking the bottom of the lettuce, putting it in, submerging it in water, and then starting to see it grow a new stalk. And the same thing, you can do that with celery as well.
Okay. How can you join? Can you volunteer with Green Thumbs?
Green Thumbs is always accepting volunteers. Depending on where you want to volunteer, we look for volunteers sometimes that want to help with our educational garden programs in schools. For that particular volunteer base, you are required to go through a security check, because we are working with kids in the schools. But we also have other options for volunteering as well. Mm-hmm. We have a spring cleanup and a fall teardown that we look for volunteers. So this year we're looking for volunteers on April the 27th. We're going to try and get as many volunteers as we can out to the Winchester School, just on Winchester and just a little east of Parliament. And we are going to get into the garden and turn everything over, get the soil back, put some lumber back into place, and get our plant beds up and going, so that we're able to start planting once the weather is consistently nice and we're not getting random days of snow. And then we'll move our plants that we've already started growing. So we grow indoors. We let the plants start to seed indoors or start to grow indoors, sorry, and then we'll move them into the garden once the gardens are ready and once the weather is a little bit more on our side.
All right. Just wanting to add another question. I've walked past the St. Bartholomew's Community Garden at Regent Park and also some of the residences around on Sackville Street and Sumash, and I've also seen on those two streets that some of the housing areas have sort of like a small community, like front yard garden. Does Green Thumbs happen to provide or just like help the people, like just get the supplies and just also just to make the place like nice and stuff, just so they can produce their community grown food there?
So we don't work within the community gardens. That would be, I know the CRC, which is at located at 40 Oak. They do a lunchtime drop-in for a food-based program. I know that they use quite a bit of the community garden space to kind of facilitate having a garden so that the lunch programs that they offer to the community are, they're actually eating food that's also locally grown. But in terms of the spaces and the gardens that are in the neighborhood, those are run by the building or the community or the community has gotten together and pooled their resources and decided to turn that into a growing space. And then they would essentially take care of everything that's there. And I know that it's their own social enterprise in terms of once the garden gets going and it starts producing fruit throughout the summer and throughout the fall, that then they actually sell that in the fresh market. So they do a little farmer's market and they'll sell that they'll sell their harvest, which is nice because then the money kind of goes back into the community and people are available or are able to get fresh local food that wasn't transported from another country. And then it's a little bit of self-pride as well because you can just knowing that you're eating the food that you're growing feels great.
Mm-hmm. I know that you have an event coming up. Would you mind telling us about the event?
We do. We have a fundraiser coming up. It's called Emergence. What we're trying to do is get artists and culinary students under the age of 30 that have a little bit of a interest in environment to be able to come out and work with a chef. Her name is Therese DeGrasse, and she's from the Good Earth Food and Wine Company, as well as Carol Ferrari from the Bus Kitchen Bakery. So mm-hmm. There's two head chefs that will be mentoring students in the culinary arts, and they'll be providing the food for us. The majority of the food that we'll be serving at the event has also been donated from the Cabbage Town community. So we've gone through and just gotten some support from the community in that sense as well. And we've got also five or six different artists that are under the age of 30 that are just kind of coming into their own and looking for a little bit more support and getting their names out there in anywhere from spoken word to we've got an artist, a visual artist, we've got a dance group that's going to perform, and then we also have our chefs and some members of our youth groups that are going to be there as well. And so it gives a chance for anybody who wants to come down. It's going to be held this Thursday, the April the 13th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. And it's going to be at 40 Oak Street, which is the CRC, where we do quite a bit of outreach out of. And we're going to have a special guest, and his name is Mark Cullen. He is an advocate for children's gardens, and so we are going to award him with an award of distinction just to get him down there. And he's going to do a little speech and talk to us about why it's important for kids to have gardens and to be exposed to being outdoors and knowing where their food is coming from. And then we'll be able to enjoy fresh food made from the chefs and see a little bit of art that's going on and within the community and support different people that are doing that. And so those tickets are $50, and you can get more information if you would like just by going to greenthumbsto.org, and you can see all the information about who's going to be there and what we're offering for our night of emergence.
Green Thumbs lives by the solving for pattern philosophy. Would you like to discuss a little more what that means? The organization Green Thumbs lives by a philosophy called solving for pattern. Do you know anything about that?
You've totally caught me not knowing what we're talking about. So I can't speak to that because I don't really know what that... I didn't have a heads up on that question.
Oh, it's okay.
It's just a question based on the benefits of a school community food garden. Like, what does the kids benefit from having a community garden in their school?
There's a few different things. Basically right off the top is you've got the recreation and the physical activity of being outside. So that's pretty awesome for kids. You can teach them about herbal remedy and different things that are available from the ground. And that kind of reaches into different cultures as well. So that's nice to be able to understand how food and how different herbs are able to, like from echinacea and ginger, chamomile, things like that, are able to kind of reduce stress and take indigestion and kind of solve some of those everyday things. So it gives us another option rather than just going to our nearest Shoppers. A little bit of an emotional health side of you as well. It's nice to, there's the nature therapy. There's that kind of an idea that it's behind. And in general, nutrition is something that we really focus on as well. So just understanding the different things that healthy food offer us and the way that we get to experience food and the understanding the cost of food and how, sometimes our fresh fruits and vegetables aren't necessarily in our budget, so we end up eating a lot of processed foods. Mm-hmm. So learning how to kind of make our own food and preserving it and making different kinds of things and pickling things or making kimchi or having things available to be even salsa to be able to preserve over and pull out in the winter time so that you're still eating fresh food throughout the year. We also teach what organic is versus non-organic so kids can kind of start to wrap their heads around that. I'm sure most parents have been able to touch on that already because it's fairly trendy. Understanding the difference between local and seasonal and what things, come into what season, or learning about how tomatoes take 8 months to kind of get a fruit on them and to be able to eat. And so just understanding the time and the work that goes into food when you're actually growing your own. Different kind of culturally appropriate foods that are relevant and familiar and getting people to understand different than getting the kids to kind of recognize different foods from different cultures because, Toronto in general and Regent Park especially is very culturally diverse. And so it's a good way to kind of bridge things to let the kids understand and find out where each other is from and what kind of food. Maybe they eat the same food, maybe they eat different foods. It's almost the same as language, but it's more edible, I guess. It's a really social thing as well, being in a garden. Mm-hmm. We get to engage the community. We offer different programs for like special needs in terms of the School for Food Garden is a great place to access nature and natural food for people. And then it's an all ages thing. So knowing and teaching the kids that they can be able to be in a garden and grow things, throughout their whole life and that it's not just a young person thing or just an old person thing is able to, we're able to kind of bridge some intergenerational things there as well.
Okay. So for anyone that's listening out there and thinking, okay, I should start my own little garden in my backyard, what if they came across any problem? Would they be able to contact Green Thumbs and get some idea about gardening, like what fruits they can plant or vegetables?
Sorry,
they can
plant? I have to pause you just for a second. I was unable to, it cut out and I wasn't able to hear you.
Yes, can you hear me better now?
A little bit.
Yes, for anyone who's listening and they're thinking of coming up with their own little garden in the backyard and they might came up with a problem, would they be able to call you guys and ask you about great ideas about which vegetable would be good to plant?
Well, we do have our own kind of a garden program in terms of offering garden care for people, but it is something that they pay to get, and we if that was something that somebody was interested in, we would come to their house and we would assess their space, see where they get the most sun and the least sun, and then talk to them about what their needs are, if they want to grow food or wildflowers or what it is that might work best for them in the space that they have.
Okay.
And we would be able to plant all the different things that they are looking for based on the need of their soil, as well as the sun, being able to reach all spots, because you need, of course, we all know we need the sun, air, earth, and a little bit of water to make the food grow. So those are all important things. If somebody just wanted to contact for questions, I would say that we could answer a few questions, but it's not what we do per se as a organization. But we do offer a garden care portion in the things that we offer from our organization is garden care.
Thank you. Is there anything else you want to share with us?
That is a lot of what we have. Mm-hmm. I mean, volunteer opportunities are always available, so you can get in touch with us at volunteers@greenthumbsto.org. That's great. If people are wanting to kind of get involved and create their own school garden, please get in touch with us as well, and we can see, we've got a pretty good relationship with our school board, and so we can see if we can get them on board to have some partnering action happen. And just to remember that it's springtime, so get your hands in the dirt and start to see how making a garden might change or increase your value in the springtime and the summertime, and even have some cheaper grocery bills in the fall once everything starts to fruit.
Okay, I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Keisha, for coming in to speak with us today.
Thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to get on the air.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Evening. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Radio Region. This is your host, Jacob, and I'm here with our co-hosts, DeAndre and Tavian. And today we are going to be talking about a controversial Pepsi ad that came up and brought a lot of controversy, and it was posted last Tuesday, April 4th. And basically, the ad was showing one of Kendall Jenner. She is an American fashion model, and she was chosen to go into Bangkok to film a Pepsi commercial that was basically to show unity, peace, and just relationship building between people of all different
cultural backgrounds, but unfortunately, some people got the message differently and said it was showing a Black Lives Matter protest and just like something that happened there with one of the photographers named Leah.
It was Aisha.
Aisha. And basically
Evans.
And that brought up a lot of problems and even backlash against Kendall Jenner for just being the main star in that commercial. And she showed in the video that she was making her stand once she was basically, she was doing a photo, she was posing for a photo in front of a building, and then she saw one of the crowds marching, and she stopped what she was doing and went to go join the crowd and just basically protesting for the movement. And the video ends when she faces a crowd of riot police, and she hands one of the police riders Pepsi can, and he takes a swig of the Pepsi, and then all the like hype and violence just stops. And basically it was showing that in the video as well, all the protesters were smiling, they were laughing, they were applauding each other during the riot instead of just like showing violence. So basically the video got the wrong message to a lot of viewers.
Yeah, and to add to that, the video kind of depicted a moment that happened in Black Lives Matter, one of their protests where a woman named Aisha Evans was being arrested by police. And when this is what is basically causing the backlash from media, because people are saying that the commercial that Pepsi released was kind of denouncing the Black Lives Matter and everything that they fight for. So people were mad about that. And people are also mad that they use like a privileged white woman such as Kylie Jenner herself to as the main character in this, instead of using like a minority, like a visible minority, they used a privileged white woman, which kind of doesn't work out in what the whole Black Lives Matter is about and stuff. So it had a backlash, had a negative backlash to it.
And especially the actress Kendall Jenner, she actually was offered to star in the video as the character that that was supposed to hand the Pepsi can to her. But now she's receiving a lot of onslaught of media attention for all the wrong reasons. She recently recently left Los Angeles to go to Paris to visit her family. But unfortunately, once she got to Paris, the people that saw her started backlashing her in front of her parents and just herself. And there's actually a photo, if you see a couple of news postings, of her covering her face while she enters the airport in Paris. And people are very very hyped. I mean, not hyped. I just mean like disappointed just how Pepsi brought an image of how the Black Lives Matter movement. And mostly the ad was very mocked on Twitter and even spawned many short live memes in the process. And even on the weekend of Saturday Night Live, the commercial was tackled and was well-crafted and hilarious, and they even made a remake of it. And the ad, the director of the ad, Beck Bennett, has apologized to Kendall Jenner and also the people that have viewed this commercial, that they unfortunately did the wrong message. They just wanted to bring a message of unity, peace, and relationship through their ad. But unfortunately, a lot of people got the wrong message from that. Mm-hmm. And it was also, the ad was basically also based off of another movement known as the Flower Movement. It was, if you might know, it was the protests during the Vietnam War. And basically, they were trying to show another, basically, sort of an image of that part of it, but more in a, like, positive manner. And if you want to add anything, Tavian?
I really love Pepsi, and they have done amazing Pepsi ad in the past. I think that when they came up with this ad, they never really thought about the backlash. They never really thought about what would people of different race would see it and thought about it and get the wrong message instead of a positive message. So I just hope the next ad coming will be more better than this one, and everyone can appreciate it more and get the message more clearer instead of getting the message in a wrong way.
The ad received so much criticism from the web that it was erased after 24 hours of its release, as it was generating many controversy. However, the original ad can still be viewed through YouTube and many news pages. And basically, Pepsi has just apologized for the controversial ad that borrowed the imagery from the Black Lives Matter movement, and people just criticized it because it vitalized the widespread protests against the killings of black people by the police.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly missed the mark and apologized on a statement last Wednesday. We did not intend to make light of any serious issue. We are just pulling the content and halting any further rollout. And just in the ads scene, it showed Kendall Jenner, a white woman, setting off a raucous approval from the protesters of different cultural backgrounds, mm-hmm. of an appreciative grin from the officer that was handed the Pepsi. And just from that, it showed the wrong image that Pepsi was showing, because it obviously protests are dangerous and are like just frustrating for people that are inside participating in protests. And basically, L. Hearns, the executive director of the Marsha P. Johnson Institute, the former organizer of Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. said the ad plays down the sacrifice people have historically taken in utilizing projects. She said, "No one is finding joy from Pepsi at a protest," she said. "That's just not the reality of our lives. And that's not what it looks like to take bold action." And that was in the statement on the Tuesday. Pepsi's released the ad. And they were also trying to say it captures the spirit and actions of people that jump into every moment. And mm-hmm. as we see in the video, many people of different ethnic backgrounds drop what they're doing, what they are working on, and just join this movement. So if you watch the commercial, it's still on YouTube and many social media pages that there are just many people just jumping in, stopping what they're doing to just join this thing. However, on YouTube, that is not the concern. Many people disliked the video. About 126,000 people disliked the video. And some of the comments that just arose were just like, it's not really helpful. Some of the things, but people are saying, like, the Pepsi ad, and they are just saying there are more important issues that need to be arisen and shown messages through. Mm-hmm. There was also a thing that said they're blaming Kendall for the Pepsi ad that she starred in it, but it's not anything, because she was chosen to do it, she shouldn't be getting backlashed.
Mm-hmm. Some people saying it's stupid. Some people saying they don't understand the role she was playing as a model. They didn't understand the role the Muslim lady was playing. They never understand the role of the protester when he was telling Kendall to come and join. They didn't understand the reason why she gave the officer the can of drink, and then she go back in the crowd and was basically chanting with the protester. They didn't really understand that. Like, what was the point of her handing him the Pepsi? Was it for everyone to unite? So why would she go back again and still protesting? So it's like a lot of people have a lot of answer, like, why was this the way it was?
And there's even a comment. It says, "It's so ironic how the fight between injustices is settled over with a Pepsi can, and a white girl is being is helping to dissolve the situation. And we just see, as Kendall Jenner was just being the star of the whole entire ad, that no one else could have just played a role like anyone else of like different minority or cultural background could have just did it. And instead of just like a huge privileged actress and model.
I'm wondering if someone else had done this ad, if it would have been such a big backlash. I'm wondering how would people would see the ad. Would they take it serious, or would it be the same outcome to it? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
That's a really good question. I'm not sort of sure on how to answer it, but there are many ads that people have seen and they've just like said, some people like the ad because it's hilarious, mm-hmm. or just like it's just advertising something they may use in their everyday lives or maybe consume, and they just like it so much that they don't really care because it's just being advertised. But there are some people out there with some pretty good, mindful and very smart perspectives that totally see the message behind ads, and they always and they're getting offended by it. Yeah. And it's totally like good that people find messages behind stuff, because there are many things out there in the world that people must understand, and how media, of course, portrays many things, mm-hmm. especially the news and just like stuff people say on social media, like in comments, and you see people backlashing and just like arguing. People have many different perspectives. It's a huge world out there, people with different knowledge, mindsets, and just theories and philosophies. Mm-hmm. It's just pretty good that people are just saying their point of view to discuss something that is very important, not just controversy over an ad, but many things that mm-hmm. are happening in our world presently today.
Do you remember a few years ago when they had a Super Bowl? I forgot what year it was. And Kim Kardashian, she did an advertisement where she was eating a burger practically half naked on a bed. And people were talking, like, they were wondering, why would she do such ad? This is a Super Bowl where family, you know, kids is watching it. And she would come out on a bed eating a burger.
And we are just searching up the ad right now, and it was an organization of a burger ad from a company called Carl Jr.'s, and basically Kim Kardashian was eating a burger half naked on a bed.
Yeah.
And the comment was odd because the 34-year-old didn't really eat the burger during her advertisement. She just chose to eat a salad instead due to an executive director of that company. But she is being highly ranked and criticized as a celebrity. And basically the CEO said she was perfect for the new salads we were introducing, so we hired her for the iconic campaign model for both the Carl Jr.'s and Hardee's, which was two companies that made the Super Bowl commercial. And they just said she was an absolute joy to work with, but as well, this advertisement brought up some controversial
backlash remarks
because of just how she was portrayed in this video.
And especially was at a Super Bowl, they air this specific advertisement at a Super Bowl. So yeah, I think these producers who is investing in these commercials should definitely think about what they're trying to tell people, because not all the time they get positive feedback. A lot of time they get a lot of negative feedback. Sometimes, yeah, the message could be positive, but the way how the advertisement is, it just goes in a negative direction instead of positive.
And that just doesn't go for just talk about the Pepsi commercial and even Kim Kardashian even eating a salad half naked on a bed. That goes for many commercials, mm-hmm. like TV. There are many commercials from like just beers. They banned advertising cigarettes because mm-hmm. I've seen people and of smoking underage and drinking underage, so they can't really promote that. There are also many advertisements of even just products that are meant for adults that are advertised on local television networks mm-hmm. that families will be watching, and it just brings a message that They're like, why do you really advertise this stuff, really, when you could just go out into public and you'll find it right there? And just as we see many celebrities and models that are famous worldwide just starring in many of these advertisements, and they're either doing something that people do regularly in society or something that people might think as inappropriate or way too just like awkward to just be seen on television, mm-hmm. and just how they're showing an image of themselves through that commercial and just the images people get and just how people think of these celebrities after they image in some of these commercials. They get the bad message. And would you like to add anything?
Yeah, I just, at the end of the day, I feel bad for Kendall. And I would just hope that moving forward, she really, really think about what she's doing, especially in ad, because she don't want to give the wrong message.
And as we see, just reading many comments, some people that have liked the Pepsi video, people are just commenting, why are people so sensitive about this ad? And just why do people just have to just speak up and just give a negative point on something? But it's just saying, another comment here, people are thinking everyone's against them. Stop being so insecure. But the advertisement was obvious to see the message behind it. Mm-hmm. Marches and protests happen anywhere in the world. And she also mentions Black Lives Matter here. But the Pepsi commercial was saying, oh, it was supposed to show peace. And just it was just handed to a white police officer. And it's just, and also a white woman was giving the Pepsi can to a white man. But she says, it's even though it's hypothetical towards white people, race doesn't matter in this ad. It just has to say, she sends the message of peace, but unfortunately, a lot of people took out of proportion because of just how the other minorities were just represented in this commercial. And we just have to say, in the future, when companies or franchisers mm-hmm. or whatever just make any ads in the future, they just have to watch out and just think about the message they will deliver to the viewers and consumers mm-hmm. of their products, so people don't get controversial over stuff and they don't face backlash and just a bad representation.
Yeah, our certain race feel like yes. They're not portraying properly, mm-hmm. you know?
And that concludes our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in to Catch the Flavor. And just to wrap up, I'm your host, Jacob.
And Tavian.
And also DeAndre. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
She'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. But at least we'll both be beautiful and stay forever young. This I know, this I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me don't worry. Of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me.